Hello and welcome to the 59th Planet Destiny podcast. Hello everyone, we have the normal cast here. Hi Briar, hi Tefty, hi Pope.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi guys.
Okay, so it's been a really fun week. What did we just get done doing?
Podcast showdown number two.
Although since we last had a podcast, this was like the second podcast showdown in the time span.
We're undefeated.
We're undefeated.
Hashtag undefeated.
Yeah, in last week's episode, we were like, yeah, we're getting ready to log off and we're going to go, you know, kick Crucible Radio's ass. And we barely did. Barely. They gave us one fucking hell of a run. And it was a very sweaty 3v3 match. But the highlights of that are either playing right now or already up on the YouTube channel. And then
somebody else on the podcast started the Guardian Radio thing.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was Tefty.
No.
What?
Briar, no. Was it? Oh my god. Briar just came out of the gates like swinging.
Look, the first win felt good. I was riding a high. I wanted to do it again. I didn't realize we'd set it up for like the very next week. But I definitely wanted to do it again. And frankly, I can't wait to do it the next time, too.
I agree.
This was fun.
Oh, this is a lot of fun.
This is a really cool thing to do. It's the first time I've gotten to meet the Crucible Radio guys and the first time I've gotten to meet a lot of the Guardian Radio guys. Mm-hmm. So just on a community level, that's really cool. And then kicking their asses in the Crucible, double cool.
That was double cool. We definitely laid it down.
Hashtag worth.
Yeah. The team that slays together stays together, and we.
That's right.
So, we Guardian Radio, for those of you guys that may not know, they are the longest running Destiny related podcast. They were going long before Destiny even really started, I think. And they're good, really good group of guys. And we won against them.
Yep, we sure did. And they brought in a couple ringers too.
They did.
Good players. All of them were good players. They brought in a couple of subs because a couple of guys couldn't show up. But they brought in some good players. But we brought in some ringers too.
Yeah, we didn't bring in
True Vanguard.
True Vanguard.
He's kind of good. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about Crucible Radio because that match was insane. We played 3v3 against those guys. We started off with Tefty, Pope, and Holtz, and you guys, I mean, it was tight matches.
Right.
Extremely tight.
Two losses, one win, then we had to take a break because Tefty, I think that the Crucible Radio guys DDoS'd you, right?
That's what I'm saying.
that's what we're going with.
That's what I'm going to say.
I had some internet complications. So the first match was fine. I had no internet problems. And then the beginning of the second match, I started red barring. I was like, what? Why am I red barring? And then I noticed bolts weren't doing any damage. And then I was apparently skipping around. And you guys said I sounded like a robot. And then it like cleared for a second. And I was like, maybe it's going to be okay. And then the third match, it was just unplayable.
Not okay.
Oh, no. Not okay at all. So I had, like, I couldn't even do the Zerg stream because my internet finally just went completely off. Wouldn't connect.
First time I've done a Zerg stream in a while, by the way.
Nice.
You can keep doing it.
So
I had to bow out, and then Briar, you got in there, man.
Yeah, I got in there. Was completely cold. I was frankly about to go to bed. It was like, what, 1:30 in the morning when you bowed out? I think it was late. Yeah. But I came in. I didn't do too good in the first match. I did okay in the second match.
I think you got.
And we pulled out the win.
Like
we got
three or four kills the first match.
Yeah, three or four kills in the first match. I was literally just trying to run away and not get dead.
Well,
so Pope and Holtzman could pull out the win.
If I remember right, you had like a 0.5 KD, which you know, all things considered, first match against really really good players, it could be a lot worse. You did good.
But we were able to pull it out in the end, and it was a come from behind victory. We were down two games, and then we won the last three to get the win. But every game was so tight. The ones I was watching were just nail biters all the way till the end. It felt like at no point did a point spread ever really get above 1,000 points. And then it would contract, and then the lead would switch, and then it would switch again. And then, you know, I would say that Crucible Radio, especially in the first two games, really did a much better job than us at just communicating, working together, working our spawns. So when they got a couple of kills and they got our team separated, they did a very good job at keeping us separated.
Yeah, they wouldn't go into an engagement 1v1. They would always make sure that they had better numbers. If they knew there were two of us there, they would all three rush us. If, you know, they got the spawns flipped, you know, they would punish us brutally for, you know, going off on our own. Got to give a shout out, Dry Bones. I believe you had a wonderful golden tears snipe on me, on Black Shield. I was like, I'm popping my golden gun. I'm going to go die.
Shit. Golden tears.
You know,
golden
tears. Dry Bones was just destroying me. his sniper was on point, and
it was on point.
He was definitely. I think he had one game where he went 21. He got 21 kills.
Yeah, he
was like 21-3.
He went massive on. I think it was the very first game, or no, it was the second game. It was the second game on Black Shield. He went absolutely massive on that game. I'm seeing a particular team get mentioned a lot in chat, and I think we should send up the signal now. To the Dream Team.
Oh, wow. You know,
not really a podcast.
Not really a podcast, but no, it is a group of three people.
Interesting.
Group of three people. They are, you know, I think it counts. It counts in my book. I'd like to see Planet Destiny's first real interaction with Mr. Fruit being the one where, you know,
our audience has been clamoring for him to be on the podcast,
right?
That's
true.
I don't know if we could trust Tufty here. I feel like he might have some allegiances that little bit toward the other team.
He might throw the match.
What are you talking about?
I've seen that other podcast you do.
Oh my god!
You do another podcast? Are you cheating on us?
Just a little bit. A little bit of cheating. Mm-hmm. That's true. What if it was Tower Talk versus Planet Destiny podcast? How would that work?
Well, Tefty is now announcing it, and it has turned into a 2v3, I guess.
I'm in both podcasts.
You are.
The conundrum.
We can correct that, Patrick, right?
Yeah, we can fix it.
So I thought the Crucible Radio match was a lot. It was very sweaty. It was very competitive. I think it was set up that way, too.
We went with the Far Cognition rules, where it was like, no heavy ammo, no exotic armor pieces used on any class, no class-specific weapons like the exotic ones from the gunsmith or the legendary ones from the gunsmith. You know, it's basically stop steel piercer, because you know everyone knows a Mobius is so good. No invective, icebreaker, or sidearms to stop the heavy ammo glitch or to stop the special ammo. Cheesing, which we all weren't going to do anyway, but we went with the rules. There could only be one of each subclass on the fire team. And there's one more rule there. Oh yeah, we also only made it so that we could have one thorn, per team. So, that's like the one thing that we kind of differ on is, Crucible Radio, they're kind of cool with thorn. Not so much. There's some actual. We think there's some stuff coming with Thorn. Yeah, there might be. So we'll speculate on that a little bit later. But yeah, we ended up in the final match. We ended up the final match was on Blind Watch, I believe.
Yeah,
and that match was a nail biter. It was a complete nail biter. Where like they had I think 1,000+ point lead at one point, and I was like, oh man, we're screwed. And then we started to slowly bring it back, and then we ended up just barely winning out by I think 200 points at the very end of that match there.
It was real close. You know those guys are chomping at the bit for a rematch.
They absolutely are.
And I honestly think that match could go either way.
Agreed.
Yeah, they're chomping at the bit.
But this time it went our way. Listen. Hashtag undefeated.
Listen, I'm chomping at the bit.
We are champions of the world.
I got kicked out. So I'm really happy, but at the same time I'm like, ugh, I want, because it was so fun. Like
you left something undone. You left something on the table.
Oh man, it was completely undone for me.
Yeah. And then tonight we got to play Crucible Radio, which I thought was it was a much more fun-oriented event. We played 6v6 because they have a ton of people on that podcast. So we brought in a couple people. They brought in a couple people.
They brought in some ringers. They brought in some ringers.
They did. They did. They had one guy who was running a shotgun. Can you guys remember his name?
Zen.
Zen. He was a blink shotgunner that reminded me of year one. I mean, this guy could cover ground super fast.
He knew exactly where the distance of the blink.
That kill shot was going to...
And he was just... It was insane.
I think he was running... I think he was running fast twitch, too. It felt like it because he had his melee up really consistently. So he knew that if he hit that shotgun at, you know, this distance, then he could close the distance and then melee and take you out and then cause Tep to complain in the chat again.
No, Bife, I don't know how many times you guys died from Bife supers, but yep. For me, it was often.
Very often.
Yeah. Wow. That warlock, he uses it. Yeah. I've used that warlock and I cannot use it to that effect.
He was very good.
He was putting in work. Yeah. He would use... I'm pretty sure he was running Transcendence, but he was putting in work with that super. He knew exactly when to pop it, when we would just be ripe for the picking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mesa Sean's snipe was on point. I thought he was doing very mm-hmm. well. The whole game was a lot of fun. It was 6v6. It didn't feel as strategic as 3v3 did because there was a lot more chaos and... we even played a game of control there at the end, mm-hmm. which was just a madhouse. I mean, who knows what was going to be on that B point when you walked into that room?
Yeah, that was utter chaos in that B room on Cauldron. I looked in there. There was never a point in time where I didn't see an AOE grenade of some sort going off in there. It was pretty crazy.
Well, it looks like our chat's talking about pushing out to the Dream Team next. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can start, you know, people in chat starting to push that out. Tefty might know a few of them get the word out.
I do talk to some of those guys, and one of them is on a podcast that I'm in. So it may or may not be possible. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. We'll put it out there. Maybe we'll be able to square up with them and do it again. And
one final thing. If anyone's wondering how we're actually doing these matches, we all just pick... We find two people on the teams that are close to each other. And then those are the people that are going to queue into each other. And then they count down. They say 3, 2, 1, launch. They both teams hit the launch button at the same time on the playlist that you've selected. And then hopefully it matches you up. And if you suddenly see it go like four people when you're trying to match, it's like, nope, back out. So you tell the other team to back out, and eventually you get matched up with them and we can have some fun games. We don't need custom games though, not at all.
Custom games would make this kind of event so much easier, so much more watchable. You wouldn't have to wait those, you know, 10, 15. In Crucible Radio's case, it was a 45-minute wait to get that first game going.
That was aggravating.
It was aggravating for us as players. It was aggravating for viewers. That kind of thing, we've stated this before on this podcast, it doesn't just help the people that are actively using it. It helps the entire community because you get to see these kinds of events. And they get to have a more polished, produced feel to them because you can just kind of... be ready to match up, right? You can have an intro by, you know, a guy like Triple Rec or whoever, and then we could just go right into the gameplay. We can pull back out, you know, regroup for another game, go back in, and like this kind of event would just be a blast, not only for the players but for the viewers. So what else we got? What else we got going on this week? I want to talk a little bit about Cosmo's tweet this week.
Yeah, go for it.
You guys see that? He's asking, what do we think about Thorn? I don't have the tweet right in front of me, so I can't quote him directly. But he's basically asking us, the community as a whole, and on Twitter, what do we think about the Thorn? Overpowered, underpowered? What do you think?
He said, what's everyone's thoughts on Thorn? Too strong, too weak, or just right? And You know, I let off the discussion, if you would have called my comments a discussion. I can't even begin to explain to you why Thorn should never have been allowed in PvP. Plain and simple, Dot is broken. I have adjusted my my calm, educated responses later in the night, but I may have
You started something. You started something.
I may have had a post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, and well, responded.
I think we all do at this point, in regards to Thorn. But it was really interesting seeing like a lot of the community's responses to it. Namely, I was looking at Reddit a lot this over the course of like the past 24 hours. And there's some that are, you know, actively discussing it. But there's a big post by Pwodigy, who does a lot of stuff in the Crucible playbook. And I think it perfectly highlights what needs to happen with Thorn and the rest of the primaries. Basically, Thorn is overpowered. It absolutely is. But its current power level is around where primaries need to be if we want to see more primaries actually being used in gameplay instead of just a lot of sniper camping that we're currently seeing. A lot of, you know, shotguns being used. If primaries are brought up more, then we'll see them used more. Until then, you're going to continue to see, you know, special weapons being used in their current states.
Because I know what it would be like if Bungie turned around and nerfed the Doctor and the Passing, right? That's a gun that I really enjoy to use. It's something that I have fun and I look forward to jumping into Crucible with. I know how I would feel if somebody was calling it out to be nerfed, but I think the main thing that people are talking about is the damage over time and how it changes the pacing and gunplay. And so I can respect that people like the gun, but I'm in the big picture, I'm thinking that it may need to be adjusted.
Well, this is the perfect opportunity if they make a year two version, right? I want to see the gun stay in the game. I think the lore around the gun is fantastic. It's one of the most unique weapons in Destiny. It looks fantastic. Its sound has a signature that rains fear in Guardians' hearts. I mean, the thing is, it's crazy famous. It'd be a shame to see it, you know, just go away. Bringing it up to year two and making those changes that they've made to other year two weapons, this is a perfect opportunity to adjust it, and I'd really like to see that happen.
Absolutely. I mean, in my opinion, the major problem that it has is that it's a primary weapon that has every single bullet being able to trigger damage over time in the Crucible. And damage over the time is just so powerful because it means that your recovery time or your recovery stat is shrunken. Like, it doesn't matter how much recovery you put in there because the damage over time will reduce that or lengthen the time of that to a very long time to where it makes the engagements very slow, and like you have to be, you're essentially forced to use the damage over time method if you're going to compete with other people using damage over time. So having every single bullet be damage over time is the root of the problem with that weapon. If it was proc'd only on headshots or it was swapped out with the hunted perk from a hunter every time somebody got shot with one of those bullets, then it would actually be relatively balanced in the Crucible right now. It's just every single bullet has the ability to trigger a damage over time, which also tells that person that they're around the wall, exactly where they're burning, and that they have not recovered their shields yet because they're still burning. That's huge. So
yeah. On the Crucible Radio podcast a while back when they had John Wisniewski and Sage Merrill on it, both the designers actually spoke about Thorn and how they thought it was definitely one of the most interesting weapons in the game because it can dictate. It's one of the few weapons that can actually dictate an engagement. You know, it forces a player to disengage. It forces a player to play around it. I like that design philosophy put into weapons, but I think that method of, you know, an unavoidable damage over time thing isn't the correct way to go about it. I think we've discussed that definitely before. Like Mida Multitool is a weapon that has a very quick kill potential and it's very difficult to challenge properly, which is why you see it used so much to combat snipers. I think the Mida version of dictating a battle is the correct way to go about it. It has a very quick time to kill, and it's very difficult to battle if you're trying to hardscope it. Thorn just has a little bit too much going for it. Also, if anything happens to Thorn, please just remove the green shit that gets on your screen.
One of the best suggestions that I saw floating around was that it only can possibly burn your shields off, and it wouldn't take health. You know, that is a creative, you know, way of doing it. Another one is that it only procs on headshots, make it a skill-based application. So something along those lines, I feel, really kind of represents something that needs to happen for that gun to be not as corrosive as it used to be.
Yeah. I don't want to see it relegated to just PvE as well. The lore behind that gun is PvP. You know, it's a Guardian killer. That is what that gun is. I want to be able to use it in the Crucible. I just don't want it to be, you know, like the only gun anybody uses in the Crucible.
Yeah. And that's honestly, like, if a year two version comes in with the same perk or set of perks, it is going to be the de facto hand cannon that you have to use if you want to care about your... If you're going to try to play Trials of Osiris, you're going to have to use year two Thorn if it happens, if it does not get changed.
It'll be summer 2015 all over again.
Exactly. And we gotta have the diversity. You know, it's got to be able to compete. And if it's just a headshot that can proc it, or if the perk gets changed to hunted or something like that, or only burns off shields, then it's in a playing field. But as it is right now, it's like there's Thorn and then Last Word Mighty Multi-Tool. And if it doesn't get affected, it's going to remain that way. It's got to. It needs to be on the three up there.
Laced in a chat says, lore-wise, only burning through the shields makes a lot of sense since it eats the light.
True. It does work. That works for me.
Yeah, I like it. There you go. Yep. There you go. And then remove the green shit. There we go. We're good.
How about this? Okay, so you know the Golgoroth kind of, it's like a real subtle.
Yeah, it's very look. Subtle, very subtle.
In fact, some people don't even realize it. It blow up their entire fire team. So why don't they just switch it? Give that one to Thorn,
like,
and
it.
Give
switch
Thorn's
it.
Green screen over to Golgoroth, so everybody knows to get the hell out of there when they're fighting Golgoroth.
It's the problem in PvP is that, like, you're looking down scope or something, and you should learn how to discern a player's profile or something from the background, and that screen overlay from Thorn is noticeable enough, it changes enough that it can really, really mess with a player's ability to discern, you know, an enemy from the background, because it makes everything so green and brightens your screen up so much. So just, I'd like it if that was either toned down or taken out. That'd be cool. One more thing, if we're seeing them talk about Thorn coming forward, do you think the other big baddie, Gjallarhorn, is going to come forward?
They did nerf it late in year one, right? Right before the Taken King came out, they nerfed the Wolfpack round. So, I mean, in my opinion, they kind of readied it for year two. I wouldn't be surprised to see. I almost guarantee it's going to come back.
I do want to small clarify. Them stating how you feel about it isn't signifying that it's going to go forward. It's just... Yeah, don't want to clarify that.
I think that it's so difficult right now for them not to use something as enticing as like an old favorite gun and bring it back to bring that fun back into the game right now and encourage people to go get that new content that's coming out. So I'm almost guaranteeing that we're going to see all exotics by the time it brought forward, by the time that this, by the time we finish with this game and we're moving on to the new iterations of it, we'll see all the exotics brought back.
What I'm more interested to see is those exotics that we're still missing that we know are in that database.
That they're just holding on to, right?
Something. Let them sit there.
You know, I know we don't
age like a fine wine.
We don't bring this up very often, but the scatter grenades, right, for the Void Warlock. I've been using the Void Warlock a lot. You know, I feel like they gave you the Nothing Manacles, which was a legend. It's an exotic choice to put those gloves on, right? Mm-hmm. And you're taking a hit by using it as your exotic, but then they nerfed its abilities to the point where it's not useful anymore. And it just seems like they could adjust. If we're going to be bringing all the guns and armor back up into year two, I'm hoping that they pay attention. They go back and they pay attention, and with this new update comes a little bit of tweaks to these old ones. I think we're going to see we saw that huge litany, that list of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see another one of those.
Those Nothing Manacles, they were so cool in year one. Like, I loved using those on my Warlock. It felt like you were throwing mini Gjallarhorn rounds.
Yep.
But, yeah. Man, just that they don't nerf them. They feel worse when you put the gloves on. I genuinely feel like they feel worse when you're using those.
Yeah, Axiom Bolt, Firebolt, you know, it wasn't of that level where I have a problem with a grenade that is powerful like Firebolt that you don't have to get hit by any, like you don't have to choose an exotic to get its, you know, to make it powerful, right? Like you get Firebolts, you get Firebolts, they're powerful. But you know, it was out of alignment.
It gave Warlocks another option, or it gave Voidwalkers another option with actually having good grenades, because you pretty much only used Axiom Bolt. If you were, once you really learned the class, Axiom Bolt was the most sadly consistent out of all the grenades.
I hate those things. I hate the way they chase me down.
I'm excited about, to be honest with you, I'm pumped. I'm not even a big fan of it. I didn't use it a lot. But I'm pumped for, like, the Vex Mythoclass coming back.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see it come back again.
I wonder if that'll be in there, though. With it. You know, the Vex was a raid weapon. The Necrochasm was a raid weapon. Yep. The Prison of Elders weapons, the exotics we got for... Yeah, that would be one way of a cool way of earning the Year 2 version, right? Is if they did update the raid, that would be a cool way to do it.
I would love that. I mean, I got to use the Vex Mythoclass just briefly in Crimson Doubles. It's great. Like, as long as you proc a little bit of damage, you know, the Zen moment kicks in and it does good work. And also Necrochasm. Necrochasm is incredibly fun in playlists that do not require power. I think the time to kill is faster than Doctrine of Passing. And when you proc that Cursed Thrall Explosion, it is like Christmas.
It is super fun.
Oh, it's so satisfying. So if they did update those raids and brought it back so you can actually get those exotics that way, that'd be awesome, because I'd feel a little bad if like I got a year two Vex dropped out of an engram. I'd be a little bit like, aw, this was earnable before.
It was hard to earn too. You had to compete in the hard mode, and it didn't necessarily, it wasn't a guaranteed drop, but you had to just sit there and hope for it.
And it was almost like Gjallarhorn esque low drop rates.
Yeah, it felt there was very still low. Some people who were very unlucky and like never got one. Same thing with Crux of Crota. That quest line right there to get the Necrochasm was very elaborate for what we were used to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it was just underwhelming.
It was the first of its thing at the time, really.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was just incredibly underwhelming until they, I think, Taken King, right?
Until the 2.0 patch when Auto Rifles got a buff, and then it specifically got a couple of tweaks to really make it start shining.
Yeah,
and
the stability got upped big time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and now it's great. If you pull out the Necrochasm now, you can challenge Doctrine of Passion, the Doctor of Passion, easily.
I still remember vividly saying, there's no way auto rifles, specifically that type, will ever be competitive.
Mm-hmm. I remember that too, yeah.
I am unbelievably wrong. I was unbelievably wrong. They are very competitive once they actually got the proper changes to them. They are.
Yeah.
They have a niche, and it's a very good niche to fill.
It is. So. It really is. Like, especially if you're a sniper, if you're, you know, if your secondary is a long range weapon, then they really fill in that medium to short range very nicely. I think better than the last word. I find it more reliable than the last word.
Definitely. Definitely. You're not shooting blanks into targets.
Yeah.
RNG shots.
Rolling the dice every time you shoot a bullet. What else we got this week?
Iron Banner's big this week.
Yes.
What do you guys think about Clash? It's the second time we've seen it. You guys enjoying Clash?
Second time, I still hate it.
Second time, you still hate it.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. Not a fan of Clash.
I prefer Control. I think it's a preference that really comes because of my playstyle. I like to be able to predict the routes that people are going to be running. I like to be able to sit there and wait for the baby buffalo to come by so I can just mow them down. You know, that is what objective modes provide. You know, even if I'm not playing the objective, I can use my brain to be smarter than the opponent or to just watch where they're likely to go and be ready for them. With Clash, you know, it's not really that way. And it surprises me, too, because in Call of Duty, I used to play Team Deathmatch. That was like my game mode. But Clash, it's just, it's a lot more chaotic. People are kind of coming at you from every angle, and you don't necessarily know where they're as a team trying to get to. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot more chaotic.
My main problem with Clash is it's generally a much more passive playlist because people have started to really learn that every time you die, that gives points to the enemy team. Mm-hmm. Your death directly harms your team. So they're playing more passively. The problem is a lot of players are playing too passively. I think Ian Rag and I, we were playing a little bit the other day, and we ran into just a full team of blueberries on Bannerfall map. They didn't move from their spawn.
Just were sniping just, out of it?
They were just sniping out of it. And a team full of blueberries. This was not a conscious decision from like a six-man team to never move. This was all those individual players going in there and just never moving. And they did very well, just playing very passively, which is, I guess, says something about the game mode. But it's...
And the map.
And the map itself. And then certain maps also really just promotes that god-awful passive play style. Black Shield. Yeah.
I haven't seen that like 100%. Like some games I've seen like really passive play, but for the most part, people are getting out there having some fun. You know, it is Iron Banner. It's not super sweaty play. People want the win, but it's, you know, most people I think are really going after loot this time. And frankly, I used up all my weekly bounties early this week to try and get to that reputation level 3. And just so I could spend all my time in Reputation 3, 4, and 5 going for those weapons that are very enticing this time around.
Wait, before we start talking about drops, I just want to say I thought I was going to not enjoy Clash, to be honest. And I'm actually having the opposite feeling right now. I actually don't mind it at all. I know that people do get more campy in it, and that can be annoying. It can definitely be annoying when you go up against a team that's hardcore camping. Mm-hmm. Well, oddly enough, since I've been playing a little bit of Black Ops 3, I'm actually adapting that feeling of playing Call of Duty into the Clash feeling. So, like, wherever I am at the map is a localized experience of where enemies might be coming at me. And I'm treating like that and doing more of a run-and-gun approach, and I'm having a great time doing it, as opposed to just trying to focus on A, B, and C. I didn't think I was going to like it as much as I am right now. I really don't mind it. I'm just enjoying straight-up Team Deathmatch.
And lag, I think, has been vastly improved in the Iron Banner. I will say today, in particular, it felt bad. Yeah. But
we got two experiences here.
Really, the last couple of days, I've had really enjoyable experiences in as far as lag goes. Today, though, for some reason, it didn't feel as good.
So, day one... great connections. Mm-hmm. It was surprising. I was like, oh, this feels different. It's not as bad. I'm excited to play more of it. And then as it got towards the night, the connections got a little bit worse because the population, I'm assuming, is shrinking. And then the next day, or day two, I felt a change in connections, as if something happens in the matchmaking queue and they forget to flush the toilet and just keeps on getting backed up throughout the week, and the connections got less and less desirable.
I'm kind of in the same boat with Tefty there. I'm in the process of actively recording all the games where I have green bars, like everyone's green bar, except for maybe like one player on the enemy team. And I am landing very blatant shots that are not registering damage. I think it has something to do with the damage referee maybe, but I need more evidence to actually See, maybe I'm just, maybe my shots are just off by the finitest of portions, but I'm having very easy body shots just simply not register. Or
I had a lot of that.
Yeah, headshots where you see the player's head recoil, their shield kind of do that little illuminating thing like they got hit. And then no damage, just nothing.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think it's just the player population going down, or do you think they still change matchmaking again?
No, no, they did change the matchmaking. They rarely ever say what the fuck changes actually are, but they actually haven't really.
For me personally, on Tuesday and Wednesday, I was really impressed with how good the lag and the lag compensation and the netcode felt. Today, I was playing with a group. I played for 2 hours on stream, and it was noticeably different. It was, you know, people. I was getting those guys that were impossible to hit because they were just like flashing around the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting shot by a guy with a shotgun who on my screen was behind a box, but after I died, all of a sudden he was right on top of me. Like that kind of stuff. I saw it, and I was not seeing it on the first 2 days at all.
And it's been that it's been like that for me as well, but. Playing as solo, playing as a group, as a small group, playing as a full six man. It's a very consistent, unconsistent experience, if that makes any sense. I'll get one or two games where everything's fine. I have zero complaints. But then the games that are bad are just, it's not like red bars and people teleporting everywhere. It's rarely ever like that anymore. It's just straight up stuff not registering. And that's
what I was experiencing.
That's the oddest thing for me. So I'm thinking it has something to do with damage ref.
I played for about 7.5 hours yesterday, and I had tons of sniper shots either not register as headshots or not register as body damage at all. And I was like, how is this so different from yesterday? I don't know what is possible. Maybe it just happens to be that every single one of those matches, you don't get a good connection to the host. Because it is like a 1 in 12 chance that you have anywhere from an awful connection to you are the host. You know, it's like that's the variation right there, 1 in 12. And maybe it's just majority of those games, 1 in 12 chance, it was just a bad connection to the host. And those shots wouldn't register. It feels like voodoo to me when I'm actually in the middle of it.
So I had an interesting experience this time with Iron Banner because I have two PlayStation 4s in my house. One is right here in the office. It's hardwired into my router. One is on the opposite side of my house, and it's as far away from my wireless router as it can be, and it's running off of wireless. The Wi-Fi there is sketchy. It works, but it's sketchy. And I played for a couple hours up in my office, and I was like, yeah, you know, Iron Banner's working great. I went downstairs. I played for about an hour. I'm like, holy cow. Like, I can't hit anybody. When I do hit them, it feels like it's not doing any damage. I'm getting, you know, I'm absolutely getting crushed. I think I ran into the damage referee. Like, I really do.
But which was that the bad experience? Was that on the Wi-Fi or the hardwired?
That was on the Wi-Fi. So I was the problem. Like, it was me. When I'm down there, I've never had that problem before. In fact, I kind of think I was having an advantage before because I was that guy who had a little jumpy, a little bit of a little bit of an advantage with that connection. But that damage referee, I think, has reversed that for it.
Yeah. No. Oh, man. We had we had one game where there was a guy that was just an unkillable god teleporting around, and he was in the top three for the major part of the major part of the game. But to be completely fair with Bungie here, this is still an improvement over what we used to have in Iron Banner. It used to be, you know, you got the rainbow bars going right there. You got, you know,
oh man,
it was bad. But then, but now it's getting better. It we're getting lobbies of green bars, mostly green bars, or mostly real green bars. There's some yellow bars that are painted green. But overall, gameplay feels good aside from these very, very select odd encounters. I think it's the best way to put it. There are improvements that are being made, very noticeable ones, and, it, you know, keep working on it.
Yeah. You're on the right track for sure. Yeah,
clearly.
It is getting better, especially over January, December. I mean, January and December, it felt like the Crucible was just absolutely burning down.
Oh, it was awful. It was just a...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an improvement. It needs more improvement, but, you know, I'd love to actually see the ping numbers, if they could do that. If they could give actual ping numbers for those green bars, because I feel like there's a huge difference. I feel like green is anywhere from 10 all the way to 250. Yeah, 250 millisecond.
We didn't jinx. Plan that. We jinx. That's very odd that we both picked.
Like, that's
that.
Legit what a green bar feels like right now in the Crucible. And that is an enormous amount of time in a game that is made up in milliseconds. Like, insane.
I got to say, though, I have been competing in the Iron Banner a lot because I really like that Wayland's March. That gun is super fun to use. Has anybody gotten them to drop yet?
I've had three drop. No,
I've had three drop as well.
I've only had one drop, but it came with a pretty good roll. It got, is it Longview 10?
SL10.
SL10. It got Army of One, Snapshot, and Hidden Hand.
That's not a good roll. That's a god roll. What are you talking about?
I don't really even have to look at the screen to shoot somebody in the head. It just kind of happens.
I've heard that from a lot of people that get that particular roll with like Hidden Hand and like a really high aim assist scope on it, is that it's got some you're pulling off some crazy suspicious stuff with it.
Yeah, that's how it feels. I got to say, the combination of Snapshot and having that fast fire rate, it's just fun to use. Maybe it's not going to be my go-to sniper when I'm playing Trials of Osiris just because it can't res snipe, but I might bring it in there anyway because it's that much fun. And assuming that you're not up against a Ramlock or a full health, you know, a full shielded Titan, it usually does get that two-shot body shot, especially if you level it up to as close to max level as you can. It is frustrating to have to three-shot body shot a guy because then you feel like you've got like primary time to kill numbers.
I've said it before on the podcast, but I like that high fire rate sniper rifle is almost a squad support weapon, and you're not trying to kill them in three bodies. You're killing them with maybe one or two, and you're providing assists for everybody else when they're mm-hmm. pushing up. So it's a very powerful scout rifle is what it is.
It burns through ammo like it's going out of style, though.
Sure, sure.
With that fire rate.
Yeah.
Which might be difficult in this new ammo situation.
I feel like 66 is not a problem right now.
No.
I'm interested to hear Fitzy's data on this one. He's still doing that.
He's still grinding.
Doing it again.
Is he doing the 500 rounds?
He's going to attempt to do 500 this time. I think yesterday he put out a tweet saying, unfortunately, the drops were still around that 11-12% that he saw beforehand, but much smaller sample size than what he had, so he's going to keep playing, see if it gets better. Although I think it'll end up being about the same as last time. It's been odd for me this time. I've gotten 4 helmets, 9 pairs of gloves.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. But it just started raining gloves. Those are not the drops too. I wanted to start raining, Bungie.
Yeah.
I want a gun. I want a weapon.
You haven't gotten any of the sniper?
I got 3 of them. And
that's a lot. That's a lot.
I have to admit, it is a lot of them. And they're dropping just frequently enough that I'm willing to grind for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I hit rank 3 probably 4 hours or so into my last night's stream.
I kept my balance from last time.
Yeah, I had 3 of them drop for me.
Nice.
Within like 2.5 hours.
Wow. I've only had the one drop. I would say if they don't drop for you, it's worth buying that vendor roll just to see if you want to keep grinding for it, because at least you'll get the feel of that high fire rate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want that gun, you need to get a better roll than that vendor is selling. Usually he's been so good this year, you know, selling weapons with good rolls on them. It's surprising to see such a piss poor roll on that sniper.
It's not piss poor. It's just it's the first one that's really been like, eh.
It's a PvE roll on a sniper that you'd never ever use in PvE.
Yeah, the impact never.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember Radagast?
Yes,
there was a roll of Radagast that had maxed out blast radius and nearly maxed out velocity.
I know, because I had it. I had three of them.
It procced. Proximity was broken at that point, and you just...
Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing rocket launcher for PvP.
I remember that the Trials of Osiris rocket launcher had just like a tick less velocity. Yeah. And you're like, get out of here.
Get that piece of crap away from
me.
Garbo. I know. Yeah. And then it had one, like the role that I had that I liked particularly was it had one in the one round, right? And then it had a proc on it that's a role that said, if you, when the magazine is empty, increase reload speed when mag is empty.
I think I had like clown cartridge or something. So it only had one round, but every once in a while it would clink. Put in two and it didn't come out of my ammo.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Clown cartridge was great. With the heavy boots.
Yeah.
Heavy boots, I think you had like three chances for clown cartridge, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was like, I just felt like I was shooting rockets for days with that thing.
Yeah. It was kind of broke. And that was also when rockets were actually useful and worked in the Crucible correctly. Nowadays, you can proc, or you can shoot a rocket next to somebody, and grenades and horseshoes might not proc.
Right.
Which is really annoying.
It does. Every once in a while, a rocket feels like it just sails over somebody's shoulder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or it'll hit him in the chest and not kill him. It'll like 190 damage. And you're like, oh, okay.
Well, it's good to know that truth isn't broken, though, right?
Yep, true. You know, truth, it's I can set my clock to the enemy team in trials switching to truth during the heavy round. It's like they're using they have cool exotics they're using. Switch truth. So I usually know that I'll win every single fight if you can
make it past the rockets.
Make it past the 12 truth rockets that round.
Yeah, that's the thing. They get 4 rockets with truth too.
Yeah.
I feel like we're a little bit tired tonight.
So we spent that energy on the throwdown.
Yeah. Yeah, having an hour and a half long thing beforehand was a little tiring.
Well, I think you're also like it's like any competition, you get all amped for it, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, now we're coming off of that a little bit of adrenaline, right? I want to talk about what they're doing on Twitch.
Yeah, sure.
Let's talk about it.
You lead it away.
All right, so set browsers to fun. Our Twitch channel is about to become home to new weekly ritual where we introduce you to the people who make your games.
March 2nd. It's scheduled, too. It's got a date.
Yep. It's got March.
Mark it in the calendar.
Yep, March 2nd. And they're going to be joining up with senior artist Andrew Hopps and Brian Frank. And they're going to be checking out the tour of Oryx loop-filled fortress. So I'm a really big fan of these. I don't know about you guys, but the Breaking In series was one of my favorite series in on the Bungie website, where they interviewed people that worked at Bungie. So to see and then the Twitch streams, like the Bungie bounties and things like that, those are also some of my favorite things. So to see them both being married here and see the ride-alongs happen again, I'm really excited about it. What do you guys think?
I like it, too. I like who they have, too. They have a designer and they have an artist, so they can tell you how they designed the level, like, you know, for playability, and they can also tell you some, like, the reasons behind some of the art direction. I think that's really fascinating. I'm with you, Pope. I really liked, especially the Cosmodrome one last year. I thought that was fascinating. I learned a ton about the geography of the Cosmodrome that I had no idea. Like, that big blast zone, how there was that big explosion. It was a area I'd been through 100 times, but I never thought, why is there this big
lore behind it,
hole in the ground? Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to this. I will be tuning in, definitely.
Well, you know, Andrew Hopps was on so the guy that did the ride-along for the Cosmodrome, Rob Adams, Andrew Hopps worked underneath him during that project. And to see him take on the lead on the world lead for the destination lead for the Dreadnought is really exciting, because that was his first project as a lead for the destination. And I love the Dreadnought. I mean, it's a ton of fun, all the jumping puzzles and the different things that you can do, and they really made it fun.
They added a lot of kind of secrets and like kind of nooks and crannies to that I don't feel like we're in the original areas. You know, there was another one where they were exploring the moon and they showed this big like stone pillar that had been cleaved. Again, I had walked past it 1,000 times, right? But then to hear them talk about it, they showed like how it, the top of it where it had been cleaved was like a glass surface practically, and how somebody with a huge sword might have cut this in two. And then, you know, that was before we knew about Crota, and I thought that was really awesome. You know, just to see all this information kind of come out. Lore guys really love it. They pick bits out of it, and, you know, it's just fascinating to see kind of inside a game designer's mind as well as an artist.
They're also, I think the week after that, or very shortly after that, they're going to get some guys that design audio for it. And I see some people joking in the chat about, and I was like, yeah, that's super interesting. No, that actually is really fucking interesting. I don't know if you know much about sound design, but the reason some of the guns feel way more powerful than others, like, just simply when it comes down to, like, the legendaries, sound design. Sound design is one of the biggest things that will make a player go, this feels awesome. Mm-hmm. when it shoots the exact same as a legendary weapon. So sound is really fucking cool. I really want to know like how they do a lot of that stuff. So I'll definitely be tuning into that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Music as well, ambient sounds. You know, the ambient sound and the music can really set the mood for an adventure.
Let's think ahead. And what other parts of, or people that work at Bungie, or what other types of introductions would you want to see? So we got the Dreadnought team, and we've got the, you know, audio team. What would you want next?
Raid team, man. I want to see the raid team, the designers, go through the raid and just piece by piece tell us why they designed it this way, what they were thinking, where the sixth chest is, you know, all of that stuff.
Explain the design concepts behind the dick wall.
Yeah, right?
How did that, like, was it some epiphany at some point where that came around, that just popped out, you know, of somebody?
I mean, you know, when we had
inspiration,
where'd they get the inspiration for the dick wall?
They erected a monument to Thrust.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like for them to go in depth as to
inside the topic.
Yes, the secret room.
Yes, right. The basketball court.
Yeah.
How they just let that be in there with no payoff, aside from just dunking space orbs.
Yeah, and so it's a. It would also, somebody brought it up in chat, Silver Willow brought up the voice actors. It would be cool to talk to some of the voice actors who played, you know, the different characters in the game.
I would gladly tune in to see Nathan Fillion, Bill Nighy, Peter Stormare, and D. Bradley Baker in some sort of stream. That would be fucking amazing. I don't. They do a lot of stunt casting, so I don't think they'd be able to get a lot of the bigger name ones. But they could probably get Morla, Eris's voice actress in. I'm pretty sure some of the other voices were done like just in house instead of stunt casting at all.
Well, it would be great now that they have it set up, and this is the part that I think is awesome. Mm-hmm. As the game grows, and they do more like recording of pieces and different elements of the game. They can, and they're stopping by the studio to do work, right? Maybe they just drop by the couch, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what's neat. You know, they know somebody's coming in from out of town, and, you know, Jason, we got an opportunity to maybe get introduced to all the cool people who go by Bungie Studios. And one of the things that I thought was really cool is that for a lot of us, going and visiting Bungie is like a destination. It's really fun. I mean, we would go out of our way to go visit. It's like a Shangri-La, you know, we go there and visit if we can. And if you're part of the gaming community, or you're, you know, that you get to drop by the couch when you stop by and use the live stream setup for a little bit. And I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too like community based, but I think it would be a lot of fun to
Bungie community couch.
Yeah, the community couch, man. Like what happens on the couch stays on the couch.
No, Pope. I don't know.
See where you're going with this one. Yeah, so I'm mm-hmm. definitely interested in seeing some of the
yeah
seeing what they do with that new Twitch thing, because they clearly
exactly.
I mean, just judging by the setup, that looks like a very permanent thing that they're putting into their office area.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Be cool like, to get the story guys out there, too. Stuff. You know, some of the guys who know guys. A little bit about the story, about the lore, they could come in and just explain a little bit about maybe like, say, 14 or...
If you can't put it in the game, at least put it on a live stream.
Well, yeah.
It I would mean, be. It's so if they're rolling out weekly content like that, that is... It's essentially auxiliary content to the game with them talking about the process and maybe doing reveals and all that. It can only be good for us as a community because we want more. We're thirsty. We want to have a drip more than just what's new at Bungie for the weekly update type of thing. So if they can give us windows into this really cool place of Oz that's making this cool game that we love, then that's definitely a win. All around.
I would love, you know what, to be honest with you, and I don't know if they would do this, but I would love for Pete Parsons to just sit down and talk to the community on the couch.
Oh, that would be fucking awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, how ballsy would that be? Like, I'm here. I'm in charge, and I'm going to say hi, and then I'm going to talk about my vision for the game and where I'm going with it. I don't know, man. What?
Doing
how
AMA?
Powerful would that be?
That'd be huge.
They should totally do AMAs live on Twitch. Yeah. They could have somebody vet questions.
That's
live.
True.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
yeah.
It would be awesome to see him.
No, I like that Pope. I'd love to see Pete. I played with him once before. Dude was awesome. Yeah, just really one of the. If you queued up with him or something, you'd be like, wait, this guy's a CEO. What? This guy's so chill. But yeah, he's really, really
chillio.
Yeah, chillio. Yeah, no, like I would love to see him get on the Twitch stream just to do something.
Yeah, and for sure something along the lines of all the background people who make. I know it's not exciting for everybody, but you know the network engineers, the tool creators, all these people that go into making video games. I'm a huge fan of Bungie games and Destiny, but I'm also a huge fan of video games and how they're made. And knowing, and maybe for some people wanting to get into the industry, you know, being able to know what happens, you know, how they got there, a little bit about who they are, that could be really powerful.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
A window into the fantasy.
Right. They might just shake our fantasy.
Oh, I admit, as soon as I said fantasy, I was like, why
you did opened I it say, up? You opened the door.
I could have said right window it. Into creativity, window into
it's their world,
anything.
Their life. No, you've said fantasy.
Yep.
So should we are getting tired, guys. Should we move on to the
well, there
questions?
There is one other thing.
Is there one other thing?
Yeah, there's
sorry,
the no, it's in the weekly update, and it's the Bungie Bounty. And I am super proud that my clan, Resolute, has been selected for the Bungie Bounty. People in the chat are asking me if I'm going to be part of it. And I already contacted, I knew about it a while ago, and I contacted Claw, our fearless leader, and I made sure that my name was not on the list because I have already had really cool opportunities to be part of a Bungie Bounty. I did a ride along. I did a bunch of stuff, and I really think it's a really cool opportunity, and I don't want to take the place for somebody else. So I gave up my if I even had a spot, but I gave up even the thought of it. So I'm really excited to see who we get on there. It's going to be a PvP bounty in Rift, and I know that we can field a team that cannot be beat. So
yeah, Hovi, M-Tash,
I mean, think
Clout,
about it. Vanguard.
True Vanguard.
I mean, you start listening. I mean, we've got one of the best Rift runners in the game. Sixtrez is just absolutely ridiculous with running the Rift. And I don't know. So if we field the strongest team we can, I would.
I'll have to get Solarity. See if we can queue up against that.
I'm saying is that I'm not talking trash, but it's going to be really hard to beat us.
That's okay. Solarity, on behalf of Solarity Gaming, we accept the challenge, and we will have to...
Manigator? Oh, my God. I forgot about Manigator. Oh, Jesus. We got a team that just... It would be fun. It would be fun to put it out there. So congratulations to those guys. I'm really going to be glued to my TV watching it. So yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, for sure.
It will be fun. Should we move on to the Twitter questions now?
Matt Kraft at Silo 1992.
Sounds like a yes.
Do you think buffing all primaries would calm the special ammo issues?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't think it's as easy as that, to be honest.
It's not buffing, but it's just more of a rebalancing to bring them up. Because we talked earlier about power creep. By earlier, I mean way back when, you know, we were wanting to make sure shit isn't buffed up to the level of Gjallarhorn. That's called power creep. There's also a thing called, like, power dip, which is what primaries are experiencing right now, where they're all, they're below the level that they should be, because in the past, a lot of primaries were way more powerful than pretty much everything out there. So, yeah. I think they do need to be brought up.
So, I feel like... So, special ammo offers an instant kill, a one-hit kill. Mm-hmm. Primaries, like, if they get brought up any further, then we're approaching an even smaller time to kill that's happening.
The time that's, like, thrown around a lot on Destiny the game is the 0.73 seconds kill. Kill time with primaries, which I think is what Thorn is currently at if you 3-tap body someone and then burn out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, it's normally you can react that quick if you're on your game. And that 0.73 isn't like, you know, just, you know, shooting at someone. That's like the most ideal circumstance of a primary way of killing something. Usually it's a second plus for the most part.
If you miss a shot or... Yeah. Don't hit all headshots. Like, Maida, I think, is 0.8 seconds, and I feel like that is right on the money.
Yeah.
Is right there.
Well, so even though, let's say, they get even out to more of those ideal time to kills, you're still going to be dealing with people who have instant kill snipers and shotguns. Mm-hmm. So if that ammo doesn't get, if it doesn't get dealt with in some way that allows those primaries to still be the chosen method for going into a battle... as opposed to special ammo, because right now special ammo is the chosen method. Like, you might, like, you run around the corner, you hard scope a corner, you get ready for a shotgun kill because you see something on your radar. You don't pull out your primary and get ready for that kill. You only do that if you're out of special ammo.
You know? Right. I think what lowering the time to kill with primaries would do, though, is it wouldn't make you feel helpless against special.
It's mainly, basically, special right now is special weapons are so strong because primaries are so weak. That's what I'm trying. I think we can all kind of agree on that. And if primaries are brought up not to be greater than special ammo, but to be able to challenge special ammo, make that weapon, you know, that sniper in the most ideal circumstance is going to be stronger than a primary, as it should. But, you know, say you get the drop on a sniper before they fully scope in, and that person still commits to trying to snipe you. You know, you should be able to kill them and stuff like that. I think it's a very complicated problem. It is
complicated.
Yeah, and I think the amount of special ammo that is in 6v6 and still in 3v3 still dictates mostly secondary kills.
Neil O'Sullivan at Neil O'Sullivan 22. Is the non-adept version of the Doctrine of Passing just as good as the adept version?
Yes.
Yes.
Depending on the role you get,
as long as you're getting brace frame, counterbalance, persistence, you will have the same gun.
Just say counterbalance, Pope, because that's the only...
That's true. But, I mean, people have been asking me on... people have been tweeting me asking me, should they do small bore or brace frame?
Brace frame. Yeah. It's absolutely brace frame. It's been proven many times on Crucible Playbook.
Joe Arnold at jarnold1905. We had Sparrow Racing League. What do you guys think of a ship racing league?
I bought Destiny because it was a shooter. I genuinely don't care.
Yeah, we know you're you didn't left.
You know my answer.
I missed the question.
The question is, we had Sparrow Racing League, so would you want to see a ship racing league? I would not want to see something like that. Do you remember in Halo Reach, they toyed around with ships?
In the campaign?
Yep. And no, they actually, did they have it in campaign? I thought it was a multiplayer thing.
It was a campaign level.
No, there was a campaign level, that's right. I'm sorry.
Where you flew ships.
And then you, if Destiny was going to do something like that, it would be a fringe thing, and it would be like taking your ship to orbit, and they know how to do it.
No Man's Sky says hello.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's another game to be a first person shooter.
Go play Eve Valkyrie if you want to play the fire pilot thing.
I want more first person shooter content.
I would like load screens to have some kind of like dumb mini game so that all those times I'm just sitting there watching that ship fly, you know, to orbit. I'm actually doing like a Namco style mini game.
How many barrel rolls can you do during this loading screen?
It'd be cool if you landed your ship manually, and you could land it anywhere you wanted on the moon, so you didn't have to hike it across the
No Man's Sky
to get there.
Here it is: the number of times that you shoot an asteroid or an enemy, whatever type of ship coming at you, dictates how much special ammo you spawn in with.
Nope,
there it is.
You're just gonna have to farm that shit for materials.
Totally joking about that.
No, I think that's a fun idea, but to be honest with you, I'd rather have them, any resources they have right now, focusing on PvE and PvP content.
Josh Randall, do you think at Bungie should add perks, bonuses to full gear sets, Raid, Trials of Osiris, etc.?
Absolutely. I think it would be so cool to be able to collect sets of armor and have a reason to wear a whole set, because as it is right now, there's no reason whatsoever to wear an entire Vault of Glass or Crota's End set, or, you know.
In fact,
well, actually,
I guess
there is some reasons in there, but it's not like it's not linked to the whole armor set, where if you have every single piece equipped, you unlock this last perk that is
Prison Elders
something useful.
Got this, they got closest to this because you'd have specific armor sets inside for Prison Elders that were like for the Cabal, for the Fallen, but it's like there's so much of it to collect, and it was so specific.
And it didn't matter.
You had to fill your inventory. It did at the beginning.
I mean, it's like Diablo, where it's like you have these green sets of legendaries, where you have two pieces equipped, you unlock a special stat. Three pieces, another stat. You know, all the pieces equipped, you unlock a special ability that's really awesome.
And then you got to make a decision: do I want to break up that with an exotic piece?
Like, exactly,
it makes a decision for you. I think that'd be super cool.
I think it would be very difficult to balance in PvP, but it would be so cool if they could add it.
As someone who played a particular game that had armor sets that would give you
hour
bonuses.
16, baby, let's go.
Yeah.
You already made a reference earlier.
No, I actually didn't this podcast.
He didn't.
There were some sets.
Psst, burned.
Like specific PvP sets where it gave you a very small bonus, but it would give you bonuses directed towards PvP. But then there were PvE sets that did these stupid, ungodly, powerful things. Like, if you wear this full set of armor, you now have a 10% chance to be able to make your next spell free and a cast instant. Yeah, that didn't break PvP at all. I'm not salty. I hate mages.
Matthew Perry at Matt in Boots. Think there'll be new Foundry weapons like a Suro Sniper in the next DLC?
There better be.
Be great.
Yeah, I think there will be, though. I honestly think that's why there's some things that seem like they're missing, is they're just saving them for the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want more. I'll take all.
X Motions at JHassan27. Question for at Pope Bear. What was the PD versus CR score? I forgot.
The Planet Destiny versus Crucible
Radio. Versus Crucible Radio score. I forgot.
We ended up going 3-2.
Oh, that was a win, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, Pope, did you make another account and submit a Twitter question just to get that in there?
Why would I ever do something like that? Yeah, you know, it was. It looked like it was. It was a dark day. We were down two, and I could feel the sun starting to set in the distance, and you know, you could hear the coyotes howling, and before you knew it,
you know, something we didn't talk about at the beginning of the podcast was the kind of pep talk that we got.
Oh my gosh.
After the third game, having Triple, KJ Hovey, and Lunassi, awesome? Like, come in and kind of give us tips, what we were doing wrong, what we were doing right, ways to improve our game.
They were
game.
Laying into me, too. Like, Pope, you got it all wrong. This is what you need to do. And the three of them just basically started breaking down my gameplay and going, like, yeah, I heard Hovey say, yeah, good call out. They're over there.
They're over there.
Oh man, Hovey, like having having those guys that are absolutely phenomenal at PvP just watching you and then doing a breakdown of your gameplay is really, you know, intimidating. And they had some nice things to say.
Really valuable too.
But they had some really constructive things to say that I feel like I turned around and implemented them very quickly, and I think all of us did. And I think they were legitimately keys to us succeeding. So I thought it was very awesome.
I got to say, do you feel like that's fair to bring in those guys, have a critique of your gameplay, and then then complete the tourney, or not the tourney, but complete the matchup?
Yes, that. Completely fair.
It was completely fair. It was for science.
All right. I mean,
this isn't an entertainment show.
Well, I'm just asking. Everybody was in the chat. Like, everybody could benefit from it, and they were asked to comment. And I think the direction was, can you give anybody any comments on their gameplay? Because it was a multi-stream. They just chose to you know, maybe focus on me for a little bit.
Well, that's because I also got disconnected. So
right. So, you know, they were really helpful, and you know, they it's not like they're telling me the secret to the universe. They were saying very like basic practical things like talk more.
Yeah. Group up. Yeah.
Give call outs, you know, very basic stuff, but it was awesome.
Sir Please, do you guys think that Doctrine of Passing should be nerfed slightly enough that it doesn't outshoot the last word up close? I don't think so.
No.
What was the question? I zoned out.
Should we nerf Doctrine of Passing so it doesn't outshoot Thorn or last word? There needs to be more guns that are viable at the different ranges. There shouldn't be just one gun that dominates the space. The Doctrine of Passing is one gun that is viable to be, you know, used in close quarters with shotguns, fusion rifles, sidearms. Last word. It's got to have a quick time to kill, and it's got to be powerful. If you use it properly, you'll win the gunfight. If you don't, you'll lose it. You know, and I've lost lots of matches, lots of gunfights to the last word and fusion rifles and shotguns. So it's if you get effective at it, it brings in a new gameplay, a new game style, and I promote that.
Also, the last word getting outshot by the Doctrine of Passing, I don't know about that. Up close, I feel like the last word is capable of a two-shot headshot kill.
Well, here's
like no time flat.
Right, so my point is this. The Doctrine of Passing celebrates or rewards being able to track an enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you've got that play style. The last word rewards people that can land you know, shots, high value single fire shots, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't track your opponent properly, you'll lose the gunfight. If they don't land every shot, if a last word and a doctrine meet up at the exact same moment, and I start firing and they start firing and they miss one bullet, they'll lose that gunfight to me.
So, maybe.
No, they will. I mean, I win those gunfights all the time, Briar.
I agree with you. I think there's a lot of RNG in there with the last word because that thing can kill in two headshots, and it can pull off three shots in the time that it takes you to kill with Doctrine of Passing. So one of those could be a miss.
All I'm saying is that I've gotten practice with the Doctrine where I fire center mass, and I finish.
Let the gun drift up to the top.
I finish in the head, and if done properly, I will beat out a last word, but not if they land every one of their shots. They should dominate that space up close. The last word should win every day of the week, but if they mess up, I got them right. But then back them up just a little bit, and I'm going to win that gunfight against them. So the minute they have to ADS on their last word, I'm winning that. So it's a balance of guns at different places, and I think that it's appropriately powerful for what it's supposed to do. Don't touch my gun.
I don't want to touch that gun. I like that gun. I like it a lot better than using the last word because it feels more reliable to me. I don't feel like I'm basing my performance on RNG.
Right.
Yeah. I will say it sucks a little bit that somebody has to go either to the lighthouse or wait for the week that Doctrine of Passing is dropping and have three chances to see if they can get a counterbalance version.
That's true, but the Zerania is currently, I think it's currently for sale from the gunsmith.
Arminius.
And that is in really, that same class. Really if it gets good. A good roll, that's the gun I used to use.
If it gets a counterbalance roll, it's...
Yeah, if it gets a good roll, solid. The thing is very good. And it's right there.
That's the tip then. Make sure you buy that before Zer leaves the
Definitely
tower.
Definitely do. And if it doesn't Sunday, get a good roll tomorrow, morning. If it doesn't get a good roll next week, just hold
I'm
that.
Go
package.
Log in and buy my stuff.
Yeah, don't forget to log in and buy that stuff.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. That Arminius D is definitely. I lose gunfights to that occasionally to the doctor.
You don't see many of them around because I think
it has to be a very specific role.
Yeah.
It's a counterbalance role. Plus, I mean, you can only get it if you got. Like 7 wins, you completed a gold package and got really lucky, or you got one from the lighthouse. So right. it's still a little bit exclusive to get that going. The Arminius is the possible Poe Man's doctrine.
Yeah.
Next,
Joe Devo at Pika Momo. Why do machine guns get no love? Only 2 exotics, both from vanilla, none from Arms Day.
Bungie's biased against machine guns. I don't know.
They don't go boom. I don't know.
I think we'll probably see him in Arms Day in the next round when we see the Suro sniper, that kind of thing.
Spring update. I'm pretty sure we'll see something new. Maybe the spring updates when the fabled Thunder or Fire Lord and Void Lord finally come in.
I think we're seeing...
somehow though they're unexciting to me anyway. Like. When I get a good one, I just like it's okay, and it fires a lot of bullets, and it's really strong. But it's not as fun as a rocket launcher. It doesn't make that big boom, and you know it's just not that. Yeah. Even the Thunder Lord or the super good advice. I mean, they're cool. The Thunder Lord was my first exotic. I don't know. It's just somehow.
If you want to just absolutely destroy a PvP, you get the heavy machine gun, and then you go hide in the back of the map until all the rockets are off the board, and then you come walking out with like 100 rounds on, and just sit there. And,
it's ridiculous. You just mow people down, and then suddenly heavy ammo's up. You're like, I need that refill. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And then you rinse and repeat.
I like the raid one because I could be using my sniper rifle and my primary. I pull the heavy back out and mow a couple down people down with a fresh mag, and people are like, "You still have that thing?"
Yeah, I mean, if I had the zombie apocalypse, man, I'd be using that every
single. You
know, single...
Pope. You know,
that's what I do. Oh my god!
What?
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's ridiculous amount of ammo.
It's literally the only good machine.
You are on your own for the next. Planet Destiny, like Throwdown.
If you guys aren't aware,
at least he's going to have a zombie apocalypse on.
So, if you guys aren't aware, Patrick is a little salty because he was streaming and invited me.
I trusted you.
He invited me to share with him my RNG, and he was going to be decrypting a engram, a special engram with the Cryptarch, and he said, "What do I have to do to get a?" Last word, and a thousand yard stare, and I said, "Well, the only way you can get it is if you sacrifice something equally as valuable." So we went through his inventory, and he, true to his word, sacrificed his zombie apocalypse machine gun that was beautiful, and then he ended up getting a sidearm.
Yeah, why would you listen to Pope?
It was wonderful.
Because, I don't know, he's a friend and I trusted him. And then he stabbed me in the back. And I was
and then I called it too. I called what you were going to get. Like after he did it, and then he got a like shortly after that you got another package, and I said it's going to be a shotgun, and you got a shotgun.
Next big thing.
And then
right,
and then
go ahead and kick
yeah.
Coke
anyway,
from the
let's
call,
let's
please.
Move on.
Mike at Mikey T85. Order your favorite Iron Banner game types. So I think he's talking about Control, Rift,
Control.
And Clash. What,
say,
what are your favorite?
In that order.
Rift. What was it, Pope?
Control, Rift, Clash.
I agree with Pope. That's actually my order, too.
Tefty?
I really don't mind. I mean, like, for me, as long as I'm getting decent connections, it's fun to play regardless. I actually don't like playing Control all the time, so I like the fact that they switch it up. Mm-hmm. I'm indifferent though. Like, if it rotated, this would be the dream. If it rotated every time, it was like you just played a game of Clash, and the next match is Rift, and the next match is maybe Clash again, then Control, and then Rift, and like that would be awesome. I would love that, but I don't really like have one that's oh my god, this is so much better.
What if that whole top row was all Iron Banner? So like you could play whatever you wanted, and it was always going to count
amazing.
For Iron Banner.
It's amazing.
That's like what Patrick's been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Rift, Control, and Rift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In that order.
Yep. In that order. Rift sandwich.
You guys are going to like this next one. Elongated Dongus at Matt Palmieri. Will you Medical. Be selling tinfoil hats as part of the new PD merch? Patrick, we had a little conversation about this. I believe the answer is... A do-it-yourself kit?
Yeah, we can sell a do-it-yourself kit, a Planet Destiny-branded roll of aluminum foil specifically formulated to keep the red and yellow bars out of your game.
Planet also, Destiny excellent. Branded is pushing it. There is a post-it note that says PD on it.
Right, yeah.
That's a brand. It's not, well, that still requires us to have a warehouse of post-it notes, a single Sharpie, and the like to ship them out, so... Really, we just we'll get Amazon to write you a little letter when you, mm-hmm. when you order it. But you
it can be yours for three easy payments of $19.99.
You'll also get a PDF that you can download that has very crude drawings on a napkin of how to properly make a
PDF
hat.
To be determined when it's coming out.
If you order by the time, if you order now before this podcast is over, you get the one payment free. So it's only two payments.
Wow.
Wow, what a deal. Bargain.
Mm-hmm. Ready to buy that right now.
Yep.
P-Coffee at P-Coffee. Blade Dance and Shoulder Charge seem to have detected issues, in my opinion. Any thoughts?
Agreed.
Yep. Big time.
Agreed.
How many times? I've been on both sides where I'm slashing at somebody and no damage and being slashed at. And receiving no damage, and been like, "What? How is this even
that's
possible?"
Just during the showdown with Guardian Radio, I ate a shoulder charge, and by ate a shoulder charge, I mean I got hit by the shoulder charge, and I just kind of bloop, just moved up over the person.
That happened to me too. I don't know if it happened during the showdown, but it definitely happened to me a couple of times with Iron Banner today. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of unceremoniously go.
Okay. Yeah. You just kill him.
It's comical.
It's even happening to the Sun Charge for Sunbreakers as well.
Oh, feels bad.
Yeah, very bad, especially when you hit someone with this hammer and then they just get moved around a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to fix that. Something is definitely wrong with that.
Something's fucky.
Something's wrong in the neighborhood. Taco Stomper at Taco Stomper. Can we change the name of Luck in the Chamber to Pope in the Chamber?
Ooh, nice.
Like it.
And that's a
little
strange.
That's a good idea.
Strange.
It has,
but,
has some connotations like to it that I'm not sure of, but.
The Pope in the Chamber. Oh, I got a God roll with Pope in the Chamber.
Yeah, imagine eavesdropping on that conversation.
Skaven1 at Skaven1. How different would Trials be without Rez Snipe? Be very different.
How different would it be if every single sniper could Rez Snipe? How different would it be if there were no overshields allowing more shotguns or more fusion rifle types or more sniper types to be able to kill off the revive. Maybe it would allow for different primary weapons to, you know, be even stronger. Maybe, you know, gameplay as a whole would change.
Yeah,
it would be very different.
You're
3 to the power of 4.
Mm-hmm. Or how about Inferno Trials? Let's go. Can we get some excitement?
Let's go.
Only.
Yes. You know you want it.
No, I don't.
It would be beautiful.
Nope.
Imagine you can only look at your surroundings to decide whether or not an enemy is about to engage you.
Yeah, no.
I love
it. Next question. Next. No.
Inferno Mayhem. Apparently is back.
Wait. Inferno Mayhem, Iron Banner.
Oh, my God. That would be fun for about two matches.
Two matches.
Yeah. You'd just be like, okay, this
is Mayhem.
Cancer.
Yeah, I know.
Mayhem is like...
I'm just kidding.
Mayhem's like having a huge bowl of ice cream, and then immediately you're like, I'm done with this. I'm never having ice cream again.
Yeah, you just finished
totally
like
that
entire bowl.
You nailed it.
You just, yeah.
You're like, bleh, I'm done with this.
It was fun while it lasted. But I'm glad it's over. P-Coffee is back. One of my biggest gripes is getting sniped while I'm shooting at them, regardless of gun. Have you guys any experienced this? No.
What,
never.
What was that?
Never experienced this.
What was it?
Getting sniped while I'm shooting at them.
I think they should honor the flinch perk more and make it relevant a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think it's under... It's not as powerful as it should be. You should want to spec unflinching.
I wish I had your RNG that I could just spec weapons, Pope.
Yep.
I mean, I got a couple of them. You want to borrow it?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
Send it over my way.
This is like in Clash this week. It's happened numerous times where I've put 3 Midas shots into somebody and they snipe me perfectly.
Yep.
And like, that should be so incredibly difficult.
That, honestly, it's mostly a connection issue. Because
I think you're right, Patrick.
Exactly.
Like, getting 3 headshots off with Mida, that person could have never actually taken that initial hit on their screen if the 250 MS is to be believed.
Or they were aiming at your nuts and the flinch hit them and made
it a headshot.
That's
also true. That's
definitely possible. I mean, I've also experienced it, too, where... looking at somebody been shot and the recoil or the flinch somehow had the aim assist draw right back on their head and pulled the trigger and been like, that
Thank
was
you.
Weird. Be like, I'll take it,
I meant
but
to
I
do
did
that.
Not earn that shot.
Myth Idris at Zoltarway. When the spring update hits, do you think custom matches will be added? No, I don't.
No.
Nope.
I had hope until we had that interview a couple weeks ago, and I just got the feeling that it was just
not on the table
right now.
There's a little bit of me, though, that's like a kid at Christmas and having my parents tell me, like, we just don't have the money to buy the Nintendo system.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait till next year for that,
like,
Simon Says.
Like, I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen because we're broke right now or whatever. And then suddenly I get it for Christmas and be like, you guys said you were broke! And I haven't!
You know,
Santa Claus!
My parents did that to me once. My parents did that to me.
Uh-huh.
But they had also, like, mistakenly put this, you know, Xbox-size box underneath the tree as well. Turns out they bought one of those piece-of-shit robot dogs.
We bought the kids a bunch of Wii U games, but didn't tell we got a Wii U until like 3 hours later. we were playing it off like we didn't know the difference between a Wii U and a Wii U. And they were super cool about it, man.
They believed you. You're into video games, man.
Yeah. Wow. They have appropriately leveled out on how intelligent I actually am. they have called it pretty perfectly. Eris gave me raisins at Max Swartzbitch. What do you guys think about the Taken King PvP shader ships and Cryptarch emblems not being available as a drop in the Taken King? So there's ships, PvP shaders and Cryptarch emblems that aren't available. I'm not actually aware of this.
Do you guys know
about this?
I've went through the tower. I feel like I've gotten them all.
Are they in the database?
No, no. There's actually a list on Bungie's website of stuff that shows that it's available at the vendors, but it's not actually obtainable in the game right now.
Oh, really?
It's a pretty extensive list, actually. There's one ship, about six emblems, six shaders. There's quite a few things.
I need to interrupt here for a second. E.T. Maverick 88. My dad wanted a PS4, so I got him a hoodie and put it in my PS4 box. What a jerk. Oh.
Duh, cold, I, man. Feels
that's
bad,
just
dude.
Messed up, man. Don't
I'd
do that.
I'd do it if my dad was Pope.
What?
Your RNG would turn that sweater into an actual PS4. Don't lie.
That's
I actually did that to the kids, too. I filled a Xbox box up with clothes and wrapped it and gave it to them. But there was an Xbox that came later.
You know, I honestly, wow. I'm at the age where if I got, like, a console box full of socks for Christmas, I would be fucking ecstatic.
I actually filmed that one and put it on YouTube. You can check it out on my YouTube channel, like, 3 years ago for Christmas.
I'll have to check it out.
Wow.
They took it like champs. Chespin the King at Purple Chespin. Design-wise, what's your favorite set of raid armor?
Design-wise?
Yeah. I'm gonna allow the Prison Elders in here, too.
I really like the Vault of Glass. Was it the Vault of Glass Warlock gear? Mm-hmm. The Vault of Glass Warlock gear, I think, is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm going to say all the Warlock stuff. Well, no, wait. Curtis End Warlock,
yeah,
not so much. That was kind of ugly.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, yeah. It was kind of ugly.
It had like a weird like vampire opera singer thing going on. Didn't quite work out.
Vault of Glass for me.
Yeah, what class?
See, I feel like the Warlocks get the good stuff. And yeah, the Vault of Glass was really classy.
I did not like the Hunter gear for Vault of Glass. I didn't think it looked good at all.
It was subtle. I liked it. It wasn't like, yeah.
I'm definitely not going with subtle because I'm going with the airplane helmet for the Titans.
Nice.
From the Prison Elders. That was without a doubt the classiest piece of armor
without
you could buy.
Without a doubt.
There's a kind of fishnet thing going on down under too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool.
Bit of the look like the Predator kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was without a doubt the winner.
Yep.
Destiny Hamza at Destiny Hamza. What if dual wielding weapons were to be introduced in Destiny?
I think they honestly. I mean, I would love for stuff like that to happen, but I really just want them to get stuff balanced out now with what they got before they start introducing dual wielding.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw it in Destiny 2.
I like hearing people go, I want to see dual wielding last words. That would just be two normal hand cannons because you need both hands to fire the last word in full auto type.
You'd be like brushing it against your face to try and cock the hammer,
flopping your hands all over each other. No, dual wielding, sure, okay. It would have to be only hip fire, which hip firing in Destiny is aggravating because it's not accurate at all.
Think of the dual wield flip though. The last word
that
would
be that, that okay,
would
be
looking
mind.
Pretty good.
You got me. You got me. I want it now. You have to be able to flip them out at different times. I'd just be sitting there juggling the fucking.
Oh yeah! Hands. If there was like a flip button every time you hit reload. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Love that idea. Do it.
Yeah. Okay. We're on board now.
Yep.
We're on board.
Doesn't even matter if it's out of balance. Yeah. Like put it in.
No, it could be underbalanced as hell. I'd still do it.
I would prefer if it was cool underbalanced, frankly.
Yeah.
Gabrielle Jack, or if it was a secondary.
Okay. Yeah, Gabrielle, it's like dual Berettas in Counter-Strike. They're awful, but so fantastic.
Modern Warfare 2 is the dual shotguns.
Then 1880, what is it?
Yeah.
Then? 1880s?
You talk about a sniper shotgun. That was the definition. You could cross map people
when they nerfed those. I heard a collective scream of anger across the world when they announced.
My KD might have gone down a little bit when they nerfed those. I'm not gonna lie about it. Gabrielle Jacks at I Am Derpmaster. How do you all feel about the Mita reigning supreme?
Mita doesn't reign supreme.
I don't think it reigns supreme. I think it's very powerful at what it's supposed to, a ranged weapon.
Yep.
Yep.
I am enjoying the current meta, frankly. In Power Matters playlist.
Yes, absolutely.
I am enjoying. I feel like there's more variety than we've ever had. You still don't get a whole lot of legendary weapons in there, which is unfortunate. I would like to see. Well, I would like to see an adjustment to the.
I'd like to see legendary hand cannons be come back.
Mm-hmm. I would too. You know, like they're fun to use. Hand cannons are just cool, and they're just not there anymore.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got for Twitter questions.
Oh wow.
Nice.
That was
shorter podcast this week. I'm okay.
This was
that.
A fun night, man. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it was a good night.
I mean, we came out victorious, right? Which was kind of
feels
like,
good.
Yeah, feels good. You know, 2-time undefeated reigning world champions of podcasts.
I like the sound of that. I might get a t-shirt made up.
Blue Weslow did respond to us on Twitter, really? By the way.
Yes, what did he say?
He did.
I think it was like, is that a challenge?
Yes.
I think it was.
Sounds like something he would say.
That
I'm surprised there was
a
question in there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm
maybe
pretty
he's
sure
got a learning disability of some sort?
Maybe.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Already starting with God. You guys are on your own for this one.
Should bring in somebody else. I'm not even afraid of it. Like that, you know, let's just, you know, it's all right. I like 3-time undefeated enough to just, to invite him in.
Yeah. I like it too. I would really welcome that challenge. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Those guys are hilarious too. I mean, in everything they do, they're really fun to
watch.
Fun.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And was this mean that Tefty has to sit out since he's biased?
What? Why am I biased?
I mean, you have conflicting interests here.
Yeah.
No, I would whoop Blue's ass any day of the week.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. We're good with that. I like that answer.
We'll be watching that performance.
I would relish in the ability to dome Blue Weslow. Seriously.
That's interesting.
We're tired tonight. I'm sorry. We are tired tonight.
Yeah, we are
you can
tired.
Tell. You can just tell.
I'm making sexual innuendos when there aren't any.
Oh, my God.
All right. Guys, all right. Was that the 59th?
Oh, man. These nights, the nights when we do the challenge, we may need to, this is fun, but really long. So.
Yeah. That was the 59th Planet Destiny podcast, guys. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been Patrick Casey. You can find me here at Planet Destiny, or you can find me on my own personal Twitch channel. I just got that sub button like 2 days ago.
Yeah, congratulations on that. That's huge.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Pat.
It's been a hell of a past 48 hours. I attempted to do a 24-hour stream on there, and I bitched out at 12 hours.
It's a long time.
I think that was a wise move.
It's a long
frankly.
Time.
Probably a wise move, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me at the Briar Rabbit on Twitter. If you want to get your questions answered on the show, I usually tweet something out in the afternoon right before the show and then pull the questions from the replies there. So I get a lot of questions. How can I submit a question to the Planet Destiny podcast? That's how you do it.
And don't spam us with questions. Just like pick one or two, please.
Yeah, please. If you got like 20 questions, try and pick your favorite. Because you kind of just get your name pushed off the list if you've got 20 of them and ask every one of them.
Yep.
You can also find me on YouTube on the Briar Rabbit channel. Just search Briar Rabbit channel on YouTube or streaming for Planet Destiny.
And you can talk to me at Teft on Twitter. You can also catch the streams I do for Planet Destiny on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday evenings. And then also catch my own Twitch channel as well, twitch.tv/TeftyTeft.
And this has been Pope Bear, and as always, you can find me on the Planet Destiny channel, streaming here and there, and on Twitter at Pope Bear.